Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the blessings that we've already enjoyed. I thank you for each and every person that's in here. Lord, just lead, guide, and direct us through our lesson this morning as we endeavor to learn more about you. Your holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Okay, turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We get started a little late this morning, I'm sorry, but a lot of other things going on. Pray for Brother Barry as he leaves, takes over this new church position he's got. Anybody's been through that, you know what a great challenge it is. Chapter 11. Let me say this about chapter 11 before we get into it. Chapter 11 will bridge us on over into the point that the Bible picks up the story of Abraham. Abram, as he'll be known here in chapter 11. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and it's really probably a shocking statement to some of you. But if you do not understand chapter 12 and on through the rest of the book of Genesis, you will not understand the rest of the entire Bible, number one. And number two, you won't understand what's going on in the world today. Now, this is how important Genesis really is. So from chapter 12 on, when we reach that point, from chapter 12 on, if you don't understand what's in chapter 12, you will not understand the current world position, and you won't understand the rest of the Bible. Now, there are people who don't want to study the Old Testament, and I feel sorry for them because they have absolutely no knowledge of the foundation of the rest of God's Word. That's how important it is. You take that to the bank, okay? Chapter 11, let's have a look at this. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now in chapter 10, we read about Nimrod and some of the other folks. They went on out and did all these things and built cities and all this. Chapter 11 now comes back and kind of fills in some details. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Everybody knew what everybody else said. This was right after the days of Noah. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east. Notice where Noah and the ark settled there. Now they're coming from the east. That they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. So this is the same place that you hear today in the news over there in Babylon, over there in Baghdad, where my son is over there today. Kenny Rich has been there. This is the very same area we're talking about. It's revolved right back now to where the world focus is in the Middle East again. And they said one to another, go to and let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone. That area is short on rock, so they used brick here. They made the brick out of their stuff. And slime they had for mortar. These people now are getting together, and they're on a big building program. And they said, go to, let us build us a city. Now notice, it's us. The focal point is each of the individuals there as a group. They said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top... Now, if you have a translation that says may reach, remove it. It is not in the Hebrew text. Okay? The translators put it in there because they thought it filled out the meaning. What it did was totally confused what the real text says. They said, let us go build us a city, and we're going to build a tower in this city whose top unto heaven. Forget the may reach. All right? All these pictures that you see of the Tower of Babel being up in the clouds, forget that stuff. Now, notice the reason they want to build it. And let us make us a name. This is the key part of this verse. Let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, this city was to be a focal point of all humanity at this time after the flood of Noah. They didn't want to scatter. God had told them to scatter. They're going absolutely diametrically opposed to what God has told them to do after the flood. He said, I want you to scatter, multiply, replenish the earth. So now they come up. Nimrod was the leader of this group, and he comes up and he says, "No, we're not going to do that. Here's what we're going to do. We all speak the same language, so hey, what we're going to do is let's gather and let's make us a big city, and let's build us a tower in this city here." Look at verse 5. "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built." Some people say, "Well, why did God leave heaven to come down and take a look?" You know, we don't really know why He wanted to come down. He came down to take a look at Sodom and Gomorrah down there and see what it was like going on. God knew what's going on. But He has ways of doing things. It's His own choosing. So this was one of the things He said, do here. Thank you, Bennett. This was of God's choosing. So He said, let's go down there and let's have a look. "The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people should be our one." They're one group now. They've all solidified. They all have one language. "And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them." Back to the same old story before the flood again. Man has got together. He's got an idea. He's excluded God from everything he's getting ready to do. And now God says if we let them keep going, they're just going to make things even worse than what they really are. Now, He said, if we don't do something, men and restrained from them, which they have imagined, they'll just do anything they want to do from this point on. Man is that way. It's the tendency that he has. It's the fallen nature in mankind. Now, let me say this about this city. This city was not just a place of gathering of all the people, and this tower was a religious tower. Now, there are many places over there that archaeologists have said they found the Tower of Babel, but nobody's really, really sure. There have been many books written. You can hear all kinds of stories and things that are going on, but nobody really knows for sure. Here's one thing about it. If you take the Hebrew inclines us to believe that this tower was a tower built as a worship center. They call them ziggurats over there today. It's a tower for religious services. It was a tower built face up unto heaven to worship the zodiac, the heavens, the celestial bodies of heaven. It's been divided into 12 courses called the Zodiac. Now, I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go on. Look at verse 7. "Go to and let us go down." Plural. God is taking an entourage with Him. Who all is taking? We don't know. Whether it's just the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't know who all He takes, but there's plural. He said, "Let us go down, and there confound or confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So He said, okay, here's the way we're going to stop mankind now. We're just going to confuse their language. Let everybody speak a different language. That way they'll stop building and they'll take off on their own and go scatter like I told them to start with. Any of you that have been in foreign countries and tried to dialogue with foreign nationals on different languages, know what I'm talking about. If you didn't have an interpreter, I was in Korea one time and trying to teach these Korean engineers how to use computer graphics and how to design airplane parts. And I'll tell you what, I got pretty good at sign language. I always wondered how good the Indians were at that, you know, and the old cowboys out west. By the end of 3 weeks, me and those Koreans could communicate pretty good by sign language because I couldn't have an interpreter with every one of them that I dealt with. But God says, let's confuse them. The point is here, notice this, that whenever man gets so far out away from what God wants done, God will intervene. And He will intervene in a personal manner. He's done it all throughout history. He's done it all in the Old Testament. He's done it in the New Testament. So don't think God won't take personal intervention as a means of getting His will done on this earth. So when men get so far out in the left field over here that they are going to change God's plan, He's going to stop them. There's coming a time here in the history of this world, and I think we've faced it closely every day, more closely every day, that God is going to intervene in the most enormous way, called the tribulation period, that the world has ever seen. This is what mankind is facing today. Any questions? Okay, verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Well, they couldn't talk to each other, couldn't communicate, so they just quit. Everybody, each little group that spoke this language scattered across the earth. Therefore, it is the name of this place called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. The word in their original language there means the gate of God. Now, in the Hebrew language it means confusion. But these people were building a religious tower, setting up a religion of man at this point, for them to worship. Nimrod was a hunter after the man. Actually, that Hebrew means he was a hunter of man's souls. He was consolidating and building a new religion. Now, there's a lot of debate over this issue here, but let me tell you something. The main thing that I find in the study of this, if you notice the zodiac, the 12 signs in the heavens, I don't care where you go. You can go to China, you can go to the Incas, you can go to the Maya Indians, you can go to all the different groups around the world, and that zodiac is exactly the same. Doesn't change. It's always the same. Now, how is that possible? It's possible because this is probably, I can't show you scripture, but it makes me believe that that's what these people were doing. They had set up this tower to worship the heavenlies, or the zodiac up there, and then when their tongue was confused, all of them dispersed all over the world, but they took this same knowledge of the zodiac everywhere they went. Just like down in Egypt, you know, they call it the mystery of the Sphinx. All of you have seen pictures of the Sphinx. Maybe some of you have even been to Egypt and seen it. It's really not a mystery. It's a picture of the zodiac. It starts with Virgo, who is the virgin, which the zodiac starts in the 12 signs, and ends with Leo, the lion. So the Sphinx has a face of a woman, Virgo, the virgin, and then it winds up with Leo, the lion, as the body. So the Sphinx actually incorporates the entire zodiac from beginning to end. That's what the Sphinx is. It's a worship of the heavenlies. Any questions? Okay. Everybody understands that. That's important because people worship the zodiac. Pick up your newspaper today. You've got what I call horrible scopes in there. They're not horrible scopes. I call them horrible scopes. And if any of you all are trying to use that to guide your life, by forget it. It's a fallacy. It's a false religion is what it is. It's these people who are taking the zodiac and trying to tell you what your life's going to be like for the day. Unfortunately, we have some high up people in this country who want to use that as their guide every morning for what they're going to do for the day. That's unfortunate. They need to be on their knees seeking God's will and forget the zodiac. It doesn't control your life, by the way. There was a study done on it several years ago of whatever sign you were born under and how your personality was and all this, and they found out through this big research, it's just all a bunch of junk, okay? So forget it. If you're using it, throw the horrible scopes away. Any questions? Okay, in fact, if you go to the book of Revelation, which we studied not long ago, I believe it's in the 17th chapter, all false religion started at the Tower of Babel. At the end of the book of Revelation, it all winds up right back there. It's called the Mother of Harlots. That's exactly what it's talking about. All of it originated at Babylon, the great whore of Revelation. You know, the Mother of Harlots all winds up right back to the false religion of the end times. That's where it lines back. Okay, verse 10. These are the generations. Now we get into a lot of genealogy again. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm going to hit the points that are really important as we travel through the book of Genesis. I'm going to get to them. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, beget Arpaxad, 2 years after the flood. That's after the flood. This guy here was born. You're going down to see Peleg, which I told you about. Peleg, his name means a waterway or division. Turn over to verse 22. I want you to look at a man by the name of Serug. And Serug lived 30 years and beget Nahor. And Serug lived after he beget Nahor 200 years, and he beget sons and daughters. Another thing I want you to notice as we study some parts of these genealogy names, I want you to notice that their lifespan is decreasing. It was up in the 800-900 years. Now it's getting down in 200, 300 years. Some of them 100 and something years. So after the flood, man's lifespan started to decrease. Nahor lived 29 years and beget Terah. Remember this name right here, Terah. This man is the father of Abraham. Nahor lived after he beget Terah 119 years and beget sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and beget Abram. Mark that right there in your Bible. This is the first mention of Abraham. His name at this time is Abram. He also had two other sons named Nahor and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. This is the famous Lot of Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll hear more about him as time goes on. This is where he came from. Haran died before his father of Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Now Haran, his son, died before his father did. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah. This is the way it's pronounced here right now. It changes later. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. This is an important point that the Bible makes, that she had not had any children by Abraham. And this becomes a big issue, as most of you know, later on. But it's important to make notes here that God wanted you to be sure that at this point that you know that. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son or his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. This is where God is sending Abraham. We'll get into that part a little bit later. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now this is a city. This is different from his son that died. This is called the city of Haran. By the way, that city still exists. It's where the Euphrates River and a river, I forget the name of it, I can't pronounce it, that runs into it in Mesopotamia over there. It's about 60 miles up this river. This city still exists there. It was a very large commercial city during this time. It was between Nineveh and the river. And it was a very large city. In fact, the deity that was dedicated in the city, each city had their gods. But the main god of this city was the moon god, by the way. And the moon god was, the name of it was Allah. Anybody recognize that name? Guess where that name came from? It was the main god of all of the Mesopotamian area, false god of that time. It's called Allah. It's also called by other names, even called by the name of Sin, S-I-N. But the main god was the moon god, and it was the god of this city, by the way, at this time. The Islamists do not like that to be mentioned. They disavow that. But there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of statues dug up in Saudi Arabia and Mesopotamia and all over that area depicting this moon god even with the names on it. Now, let me give you a little history while we're at this point right now because it's so much prominent in the news. The Nation of Islam or the Religion of Islam today that's going on is expanding it originated from here, right there at this point, worshiping this moon god. Now, when Mohammed came on the scene in 700 A.D., 700 years after Christ, there was about 350 gods being worshipped in what we call Saudi Arabia today. He picked out and he chose one called Allah, the moon god, and he says, we are now going to worship this one god. This is the true god, and all the other gods are false gods. In fact, Mecca was dedicated as a site to the moon god, Allah, at that time. And Mohammed, through the use of military force, he incorporated all this group of Mesopotamia into the Islamic movement to worship Allah, which is nothing but a pagan moon god that goes back to the time of Abraham. Now that's where all that started. That's where it all came from. This is why it's so important to understand the book of Genesis, because that's where it originated. And guess what? We're dealing with it today. Our soldiers are over there today fighting this Islamic movement. This is a religious war. It's not a political war. It is a religious war. Okay? They're taught to hate the Western world, what we stand for, how we live. Christianity and Judaism is to be annihilated and destroyed, is the teaching of Islam today. And I could go further, but I'm not, because I wouldn't embarrass you ladies what it teaches about y'all. Any questions? Okay. All right. That's what I say. What happened in those times is having an effect upon us to this day. Now, Abraham's dad, Terah, by the way, is mentioned elsewhere in Scripture, I believe it's the book of Jeremiah, that he was a priest, a pagan priest. Now, we don't know which god he served. There's a whole lot of them. But he could have been a pagan priest of this moon god at that time. All right. Verse 32. I'm going to end up with verse 32. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. That's, again, that city over there where it exists today. That's where Abraham's dad died, right there. Now, next week we'll get into chapter 12. Like I say, chapter 12 really introduces Abraham, or Abram as he's known at this time, and from that point on begins to build into the nation of Israel, and all the ramifications of that area and that region and the nations that are affecting our lives in this part of the world today comes from there. Any questions? Any comments? We took up $1,450.35. So thank all y'all for your generosity and everything. I really do appreciate that. We'll put that to good work. Anybody have anything before we close? Pray for Brother Barry. Like I say, he'll be doing his first sermon at his church next Sunday as full-time pastor. Just keep him in your prayers. Keep me in your prayers on this job that I'm doing here. I'm really beginning to get busy. So y'all just pray that I do it correctly. That's the main thing I want. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. I thank you for the generosity of everyone here, that we can use this money to help others, to glorify you, Lord. Thank you for this lesson that helps us to understand your ways and your will, Lord, for mankind, and that we are to seek you, not to build a religion of our own, but to seek you as the only true one on the face of the earth, and to realize the failures that man have made before us, and that we should not repeat them. Continue to pray for Pastor John and the staff here. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all call me if you need me this week.